living and dying honor. Bible study lesson number 133. Within that, the series Obedience to God or Man, Bible study lesson number 43. Today is February the 8th, 2010. The Bible says pay honor where honor is due. If you are an objective person over the years, you should have developed some heroes. I have some heroes. My heroes are varied. The reason for being my heroes are varied. Les Chopard, Dr. Les Chopard, missionary in Laos, 1960s, early 70s, until forced to leave the country. Pete Fleming, late saint. Jim Elliott, and the others that died that morning trying to take the gospel of Jesus Christ. The natives had never heard it before in South America. Military heroes. I mentioned to you before James N. Rowe. Nick was born February 8, 1938 in McAllen, Texas. He entered U.S. Military Academy at West Point June 1956, graduated with commission Second Lieutenant Artillery June 8, 1960. He was assigned 82nd Airborne Division, Fort Bragg, North Carolina from August 1960 to May 1961. During this time, he completed Airborne School, Ranger School, and the Artillery Officer Basic Course. Rowe next served with the 7th Special Forces Group and then the 5th Special Forces Group of 1st Special Forces at Fort Bragg, May 1961 and July 1963. During this time, he completed language school at the Presidio of Monterey, California. He went on a TY with the 5th Special Forces Group to Republic of Vietnam, July 1963, was captured and taken prisoner of war by the Viet Cong on October 29th, 1963. After spending 1,891 days in captivity, Major Rowe escaped December 31st, 1968, and made his way to friendly forces. He was briefly hospitalized to recover from his injuries at Fort Sam, Houston, Texas, and then served as instructor with the Army Field Artillery School at Fort Sill, Oklahoma. From June 1969 to September 1970. He then went with Army Intelligence, serving at Fort Hollabird, Maryland, September 1970, June 1971, then with the Defense Intelligence Agency in Washington, D.C., from June 1971 until left active duty February 1st, 1974. Colonel Rowe returned to active duty March 12, 1981, and served as Chief of Survival, Evasive Resistance, and Escape. SCRE school at Fort Bragg, North Carolina until May 1985, when he was made commander of the 1st Special Warfare Training Battalion at the John F. Kennedy Special Warfare Center, also at Fort Bragg. May 1988, Colonel Rowe was assigned as Chief of the Army Division of the Joint U.S. Military Advisory Group in the Philippines. He was assassinated by communist guerrillas in Quezon City, a suburb of Manila, on April 21, 1989. He's buried at Arlington National Cemetery on May 2nd, 1989. The Silver Star citation reads, Major James N. Rowe, Artillery, United States Army, distinguished himself by outstanding gallantry in action, 31st December 1968, while a prisoner of the Viet Cong in the Yumin Forest of South Vietnam during the period 22 to 31st December 1968. After more than 5 years in Viet Cong prison camps, Major Rowe was forced by his captors to move at least twice daily to avoid friendly airstrikes. On 31st December, at approximately 0900 hours, two helicopter gunships began firing into an area approximately 300 meters from his location. The guard detail consisted of one Viet Cong captain and the guards, one of whom was assigned to remain Major Rowe at all times. The guard detail, while monitoring a radio, learned the South Vietnamese infantrymen were searching the terrain nearby. Becoming frightened, the guard moved Major Rowe into a large field of reeds, hoping to evade the infantry force. As you might realize that if he were to escape, he must first get away from some of his guards, so he tricked them into splitting into smaller groups in order to exfiltrate the area. Major Rowe persuaded his one remaining guard that they were being surrounded and kept him moving in a circle through the dense underbrush. While doing so, Major Rowe was able to remove the magazine from the weapon slung across the guard's back. Finding a club, he overpowered the guard, knocked him unconscious, seized his radio, and moved 200 meters in the grassy area. At great personal risk, he quickly cleared a section and signaled one of the circling helicopters while landing and picked him up. First action after rescue was to request permission to re-enter the area with combat troops to continue the fight based upon his intimate knowledge of the area. Major Rowe's burning determination to escape undiminished after 5 years of intimidation and privation. His clearness in formulating an effective plan, his audacity in executing it successfully, reflect the highest credit on his profession, extraordinary courage, and keeping with the highest traditions of the military service. I have only the highest regard for Colonel Rowe. As well as for Captain Herberto R. Versace, who is still listed as an MIA, he was killed, killed, they listed him for an A, was listed as his body has not been recovered. Who was granted the Congressional Medal of Honor for his opposition to the enemy and never surrendering while he was a prisoner of war when they finally assassinated him. Daniel L. Pitzer, who was released in 1967, and high boy for Claude D. McClure, George E. Smith. Smith was released in 1965. Isaac Camacho escaped in 1965, and Kenneth M. Rohrbach still missing. May we never forget those who paid the sacrifices for our freedom. This goes along with what we're teaching, because we're ready to start looking at the aspects of the Adamic culture today. Before we begin, let's pause for silent prayer to give you time to make sure you're on the filling of the Spirit and you have absolute objectivity to the teaching of the Word of God. Shall we pray? Lord God and Father, we thank you for the freedom that still exists within our nation that allows us to teach the word of the living God, to teach people how to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to whom be glory, both now and forever. We ask you to sanctify this teaching and make it a spiritual challenge to their souls and a blessing to them, that they may be edified in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray, saying, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." Amen. All right, we're saying that Adam was created in accordance with the Father's decretive will and therefore is called the Son of God in Genesis chapter 5, verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam in the day that God created man in the likeness of God, made in him. Then when we come over to Luke chapter 3, having seen that Adam was made in the image and likeness of God, we read in Luke 3:38, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. Adam did not possess deity, because Luke was led by the Holy Spirit to call him the Son of God. We must understand something. During the dispensation of man, or the Gentile, we sometimes call it, the Age of Innocence, Adam was a type of Christ. He did not possess deity. He was the Son of God the Father, because the Father is the author and designer of the eternal plan of the ages. Isaiah 40:13. Who direct the Spirit of the Lord, who being his counselor, hath taught him. With whom took he counsel, and with whom instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed him the way of understanding. No one did, of course. God had no counselors with him. There was no one the equal of God. Isaiah 46, 9 and 10. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, there is none else. I am God, there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. God the Father is the creator. Father, Adam was a type. Adam as a type of Christ was created. God the Son is eternal. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. That's God the Father. The Word was God the Son. The same was in the beginning with the triune Godhead. That's a doctrinally explained translation of the verse from a careful exegesis which we've previously given you many times. Adam was created a living being. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. And the Father is the ultimate source of life. Isaiah 45, 2. I will go before thee. I'm sorry, I've got the wrong. 42, 5. What we want. Thus saith God the Lord, he hath created the heavens and stretched them out. He spread the earth and that which cometh out of it. He that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit unto them that walk therein. Adam was given a human spirit, and God the Father is called the Father of spirits. Hebrews 12:9. Adam was born tricotomous, body, soul, and spirit. Hebrews 12:9 says, furthermore, we have the fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be subject unto the Father of spirits and live? The Father was Adam's creator, God, creator, Father, and God. The Son was Adam's creator, God. As the Son and the Father dwell in perfect union, John 10:30. Remember, the actual act of creation was carried out by the Son under the inspiration and direction. Not inspiration, I say the direction of the Father who designed the plan. He's the architect of the plan. John 10:30. I and my Father are one. The Father designed a human body for the Son to take upon himself through hypostatic union as the God-man. Hebrews 10:5. We've dealt with that so much you should not question any part of it. Wherefore, when he cometh in the world, he saith, sacrifice and all offerings. I would it's not but a body thou hast prepared for me. The dispensation of the triune Godhead, i.e. eternity past, pre-creation eternity, I should say, also known as the dispensation of Alpha. Christ's body was designed along with his human soul and human spirit. Genesis 1:26a. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. The first man, as you know, was going to be God the Son. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him, that's by God the Son, and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. The eternal Son, who John chapter 1 tells us In verse 18, no man has seen God, that's God the Father at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Now, God the Son was the Father designed for him a body, a soul, and a spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is a trinity, that the human soul and human spirit are not identical, is proved by the facts that they are indivisible. Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, the joints and marrow, as they discern the thoughts, the intents of the heart. That the soul and spirit are sharply distinguished in the burial and resurrection of the body. In the soul and natural body, soma, sukhakon, S-O-M-A plus P-S-U-C-H-I-K-O-N, the soul body. It is raised a spiritual body, soma pneumatikon, S-O-M-A plus P-N-E-U-M-A-T-I-K-O-N, 1 Corinthians 15:44. Those who would assert that there is no difference between the soul and the body, the soul and the spirit, is to assert that there is no difference between the mortal body and the resurrection body. In Scripture, use of the distinction between the spirit and the soul may be traced. Briefly, that distinction is the spirit as the part of man which knows, 1 Corinthians 2:11. His mind, the soul, is the seat of the affections, desires, and so the emotions, and of the active will of self. Matthew 26:38, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful. Also of Matthew 11:29, John 12:47. The word translated soul in the Old Testament, nephesh, N-E-P-H-E-S-H, is the exact equivalent of the New Testament word for soul, suchi, P-S-U-C-H-E. The use of soul in the Old Testament is identical with the use of that word in the New Testament, Deuteronomy 6:5, 14:26, 1 Samuel 18:1, 20, verse 4:17, Job 7:11, 15. 14:22, Psalm 42:6, and 84:2. New Testament word for spirit, pneuma, P-N-E-U-M-A, like the Old Testament, ruach, R-U-A-C-H, is translated air, breath, wind, but predominantly spirit. Word of God, Genesis 1:2, Matthew 3:16, man, Genesis 41:8, 1 Corinthians 5:5. Because man is spirit, he is capable of God, conscious of communication with God, Job 32:8, Psalm 18:28, Proverbs 20:27. Because he is soul, is self-consciousness, Psalm 42:5, 6 and 11. Because he is body, he has through his senses world consciousness. The Son was designed, body, soul, and spirit, by the Father. The person of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we point out, is eternal God. John 1:1-2, in the beginning was the Word, the Greek word, the Logos there. And the Word was with God, that's God the Father, and the Word was God, that would be God the Son. The same was in the beginning with God, that would be with the whole triune Godhead. Verse 3 says, all things were made by him, and he couldn't, him, and without him was anything made that was made. Now, if Christ was a created being, then he could not have made all things, because who made him? He couldn't make himself. Scripture must be examined contextually. With careful exegetical considerations. God the Son is the eternal Son. Verse 18, no man has seen God the Father at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. The Lord Jesus Christ is the God-man through hypostatic union, eternally existed in the creative will of the Father. Proverbs 8:20-36. I want you to understand the difference here between Adam as the Son of God, and God the Son is the eternal Son. Adam is the created Son of God. We're taking time for this here. Proverbs 8:20-36. In the midst of the passive judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, I will fill their treasures. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way. before his works of old, I was set up in the everlasting from the beginning of ever, or ever the earth was. When there was no depths, I was brought forth. When there was no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he was encompassed upon the face of the depth. When he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree, and the waters should not pass his commandments, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, that I was with him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable parts of the earth, and my delight were with the sons of men. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instructions, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul, and all they that hate me will love death. So wisdom is more than the personification of an attribute of God, and the will of God is best for man, but is distinct. Admiration of Christ is sure to be to the devout mind. Proverbs 8:22-36, we put it with John 1:1-3. Colossians 1:17, we see here clearly that this passage refers to the eternal Son of God. Once I see I Schofield, and I totally agree with him. However, the human nature did not come into literal existence until the fullness of time, Galatians 4:4. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under law. The Father is the personal Father of the human nature of the Son, because he provided the miracle conception in the womb of Mary, Luke 1:30-35. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in the womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And Mary said, Angel, how shall these things be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered, said, Lord, the Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, the holy thing which is shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Power of the Highest refers to the Father. The Spirit first came upon Mary so that she could produce an egg which was free from all genetic defects as a result of Adam's original sin, Matthew 1:20-23. While he thought on those things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from his sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Now, the nature of corruption is passed down through the genes of the Father. Psalm 51:5, we've taught that to you several times over the years, we know. Behold, I was shaped in iniquity and in sin, and my father conceived me. But a mother can and does pass down genetic traits, positive and negative. So the Holy Spirit had to cleanse the egg to make sure that there was no genetic trait defects in the traits that were passed down to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is important to remember that Jesus Christ is called the Son of the Father in 2 John 1:3. Grace be unto you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. The Father called, the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased." At his baptism, Matthew 3:17, Mark 1:11, Luke 3:22. He repeated it at the on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew 17:5, Mark 9:7, Luke 9:35. Peter records it in 2 Peter 1:17. 2 Peter 1:17, "For he hath received from God the Father honor and glory." When there came a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." The God and Father of our Lord Jesus is called the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ in Romans 15:6, 2 Corinthians 1:3, Ephesians 1:3, and 1 Peter 1:3. This refers to the Father's dual relationship with Christ's human nature. Jesus recognized this and referred to it after resurrection from the dead in John 20:17. When he spoke to Mary Magdalene, he said, "Jesus said, Lord, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Christ has never been known as the Son of the Spirit. The Father cannot be the God of the divine nature because God is one, Deuteronomy 6:4. Here, O Israel, speaking to the people there, the Lord our God is one Lord. The Father assigned all authority over creation to the Son, Colossians 1:16-17. "For by him are all things created that are in heaven and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether they are thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist." The original creation covenant was between the Father and the Son, Genesis 1:26a, and God said, "Let us make him and our man in our image and our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." The Edenic covenant came out of the creation covenant and was between the Father and Adam, Genesis 1:27-31. So God created man in his own image. The image of God created him. Male and female created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over everything, living thing that moveth upon the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth." Now listen carefully to what I'm saying, because there are those that would take us back to the Garden of Eden if they could, and they cannot do this because God has banned man forever from the garden. The garden was destroyed at the flood, as we'll see. The Father assigned all authority unto the Son. The original creation covenant was between the Father and the Son. The Edenic covenant came out of the creation covenant and was between the Father and Adam. Now notice again carefully the covenant there. Interrupt this. Some of you know I have to be when I have to watch the phone because of my wife's many health problems. Genesis 1:27-31. So God created man in his own image. The image of God created him. Male and female created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given unto you every herb-bearing seed which is on the face of the earth, and every tree in which the fruit of a tree yielding seed that shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, when there is life, I have given every green herb for meat." And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. The restoration of the earth was complete in 6 24-hour days, the creation of Adam. And with the creation of Adam, God made the Adamic covenant, which came out of the creation covenant. It was God the Son, of course, who presented the covenant to Adam, because no man had seen the Father. It was the Son who would appear to Adam in Christophany appearances. Some call them theophany appearances, post, because they were pre-incarnate. Adam was the Son's prince, regent, ruler over the Son's earthly kingdom. This is important for you to understand. He was only the prince, ruler of the Son, God the Son. The kingdom of the garden was the capital for his potential worldwide kingdom. The kingdom of the garden was the capital for Adam's potential worldwide kingdom. Genesis chapter 2, verse 8. And Lord God planted a garden eastward Eden, and there he put the man whom he formed. Put that with Genesis 1, 28. And God blessed them, and God said, "Let me be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Man was created in innocence, placed in a perfect environment, subject to an absolute simple test. Not to eat of one single tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and the consequence of disobedience. The day that thou eatest thereof, dying thou shalt surely die. When sin came into the world, Eve fell through pride, having been blinded by Satan, and so that she did not understand fully what she was doing. She committed the first, what we call an unknown sin. The man Adam deliberately sinned, committing the first known sin, but he held all the responsibility of duty as the head of everything, as Christ's prince regent, 1 Timothy 2:14 teaches. Now, they were very stirred, as we will see. They will be saved. The dispensation of innocence is over. It was ended with the judgment in which they were expelled, exiled from the Garden of Eden forever, Genesis 3:24. Now, the Adamic covenant was the first great covenant. They were told to replace the earth with a new order of man, to subdue the earth to human uses, to have dominion over the animal creation, to eat herbs and fruit, to till and keep the garden, guarding it, to abstain from eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the penalty for it being death. Now, if Adam would have had absolute authority, i.e. the false doctrine of the divine right of kings, he could not have been exiled from the Garden of Eden, and he was exiled, Genesis 3, 23 and 24. Therefore, the Lord God, well, we'll take verse 22 to explain. The Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become as one of us." This is sarcasm. Adam did not become divine. He did not get promoted and become smarter and more brilliant in his sin. This is part of stupidity that's taught by a lot of people who don't carefully examine what's said in Scripture. "Behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. Now lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live thereof. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove the man, drove out the man. He placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." Man fell. And when man fell, man did not become smarter by falling. Adam could not save himself. Adam came out a depraved person immediately. He Psalm 14:2-3, we read, the Lord looked down in heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand or seek God. They are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Isaiah 1:5-6, the whole earth is sick, and the whole heart faints, from the sole of the foot even unto the head. There is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. John 3:6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Mark 7:21-23, from within, out of the heart of man, proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come forth from within and defile the man. Romans 3:9-12, we have before proved both Jew and Gentile that they were all under sin, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all run out of the way, they are altogether become unprofitable, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. We must identify with and understand the reality of life in the fall of man. Man fell. Adam sinned. Men upon sin, they hid themselves from God among the trees of the garden. John 3:19 says, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Matthew 7:16-18 says, do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? If you want to say every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Adam was the created Son of God. He was the prince regent over the kingdoms of this earth. He did not have absolute authority over this earth, and when he sinned, he was kicked out of the Garden of Eden, and he lost the image and likeness of God. He immediately spiritually died. The kingdom of Eden was destroyed as a result of the earthquakes and volcanic eruptions that accompanied the flood, Genesis 7:11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 7th, 8th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up and the windows of heaven were opened. God destroyed the geographical kingdom of the Garden of Eden the way it once was, with great earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, and the great canopy of water that flooded down upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. And buried the whole earth underwater. No man can go back. We cannot return to the utopia of the Garden of Eden. We cannot return to innocence. There are those that would take us back, but it can't be done. And Adam lived 130 years, Genesis 5:3-7, begat a son in his own likeness after his image, and called his name Seth. Genesis 5:3, Seth was born in the image of Adam, his sinful fallen father. He was not born in the image of God. All of Adam's children, starting with Cain, his firstborn, were born with a nature of corruption, Romans 3:23. For all have sinned, that represents the nature of corruption and comes short of the glory of God. That old familiar passage in 1 John 1:8. If we say that we have no sin, that speaks of our own sin nature, we deceive ourselves. The truth is by the doctrine. It's not in us. When Adam intentionally disobeyed God's mandate and committed his original sin, the entire human race was in the loins of Adam. 1 Corinthians 15:22, in Adam all die. At the moment of conception, the male, through his seed in accordance with the law of genetics, passes the nature of corruption, offspring, on to the next generation. That's Psalm 51:5. We gave it to you just a few minutes ago. We'll give it to you one more time. Maybe it'll drive home in your soul and you'll understand it more fully. Behold, I was shaping iniquity and in sin. Did my mother conceive me? Look at Psalm 58:3 for additional support verses. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. Job 14:4. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. John 3:6. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. As a result of the nature of corruption, the Father immediately imputed Adam's original sin to each of his children. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Wherefore, it relates back to Romans 3:19-23, and maybe regards a continuation of discussion of the universality of sin. Interrupted Romans 3:24-5:11 by the passage on justification, its results. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, that's spiritual death, and so death, spiritual death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. All men have a nature of corruption. The first sin wrought them all ruin of the race. The demonstration is simple. Death is universal, verses 12 and verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses over even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. It was the figure of him who was to come. Death is universal. All die. Sinless infants, small people, religious people, equally with the depraved. For universal effect, there must be a universal cause. The cause is a state of universal sin. So physical death is also a ramification, of course, because in Genesis chapter 2, he says, literally, from the Hebrew, die, and thou shalt surely die. Now, the universal effect, there must be a universal cause. The cause is a state of universal sin, verse 12. Everybody has a nature of corruption. For this universal state, there must be a cause in it. It did. The consequence of Adam's sin was that many were made sinners, verse 19. For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Now, by the offense of one judgment came upon all men into condemnation, verse 18. The consequence of Adam's sin was that many were made sinners. Personal sins are not meant here, for Adam to Moses' death reigned, verse 14. Although there was no law, personal guilt was not imputed, verse 13. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. This is personal sin being spoken of here. What we have here is the imputation of Adam's original sin. According from Genesis 4:7, Exodus 29:14, the sin offering is not once mentioned. Then, since physical death from Adam to Moses was not due to the sinful acts of those who die, it follows, that's Romans 5:13, it follows that it was due to a universal sinful state of nature, and that the state is declared to be our inheritance from Adam. The moral state of fallen man is described in Scripture, Genesis 6:5, 1 Kings 8:46, Psalm 14:1-3, 39:5, Jeremiah 17:9, Matthew 18:11, Mark 7:20-23, Romans 1:21-2, 3:19-19, 7:24-7, John 3:6, 1 Corinthians 2:14, 2 Corinthians 3:14, 4:4, Galatians 5:19-21, Ephesians 2:1-3, 11, 12:4-18-22, Colossians 1:21, Hebrews 3:13, James 4:14. The imputation of Adam's original sin was given to the Adamic human race. Ephesians 2:3, 1-3, we read. King James says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses." So hath he quickened is interpolated to explain to you that it's referring, he's writing to born again believers, but they were born spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. When in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit, and now worketh the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation, that's our lifestyle in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Every member of the Adamic human race is born non-meritoriously condemned in Adam. 1 Corinthians 15:22. In Adam all die. The Father, through grace, mercy, and accord with the divine value, is placed on the blood work of Christ. John 1:7. Being the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, keeps from cleansing us from all sin. Literal translation from the Greek. John 3:16-17. I'm sorry, before I get to that, I've got to give you one more here. I'm sorry. The Father, through His grace, mercy, and accord with divine value, is placed on the blood work of Christ, 1 John 1:7, redeems all who die before the age of accountability. 1 John 2:2. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. For John 3:16-17, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son to the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. The age of accountability is the age of the awareness of the existence of God. Romans 1:19-20. Romans 1:19-20. Because that which may be known of God is manifest to them, for God has shown it to them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And the existence of sin, righteousness, and judgment. They have to understand the existence of sin, righteousness, and judgment. John 16:8-11. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. Of sin, because he believed not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. All who pass beyond the age of accountability and die without having believed in Christ are eternally condemned to the lake of fire. John 3:18. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. I'll let you read for yourself Revelation 21:15. The moment of Adam's original sin, Genesis 3:6-7. When the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. The moment of Adam's original sin, he suffered spiritual death. Genesis 2:17. But in the trail of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for the day that thou eatest thereof. King James says, thou shalt surely die, literally dying, thou shalt surely die. Spiritual death would eventually leave 930 years after the fall to physical death. Adam instantly ceased to be in the image and likeness of God. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God is a holy God. Psalm 99:9. Pastors and Bible teachers often want to water down man. They want to water down what happened to Adam. Adam lost the image and likeness of God when he fell. Psalm 99:9 says, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. Holiness is an attribute of God. God is holy. Adam lost his innocent holiness. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 5:12. Take a drink of coffee. Wherefore, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Scripture makes it clear where man was at in the presence of God. There is none righteous. Romans 3:9 says, what then? We are better than they, know in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles, they're all under sins. It is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of their way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. The throat is an open sepulchre, with their tongues they have used deceit, and the poison of aspen on the lips. Whose mouth is full of cursings and bitterness, their feet are swift to shed blood, destruction, misery in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law. That their mouth may be stopped and all the world may be guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. When Adam and Eve made loincloths of fig leaves, Adam and Eve tried, they tried, to cover the sin guilt that flooded their souls. Genesis 3:7, the eyes of them both were open. The eyes of their soul were open. They knew that they were naked. They had guilt. The guilt that comes from sin was upon them. And they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now when God created them in Genesis 2:25, it says they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. They knew. Shame, because they were in sin, and guilt was upon him. A man can harden his heart over a period of time to the guilt of sin. Yesterday's Super Bowl was loaded with ads, people running around in their underwear. Saw several of them, two or three of them anyway, something. My wife and I thought, how ridiculous. It shows the concept of where they're at. People going to work in their underwear. Running through the field in their underwear and stuff. Different commercials. People thought they were cute. I thought they were stupid. Because what are they doing? They're promoting an idea that people can harden their heart. The realities of the guilt of sin in their own life. Become acceptable of all kinds of things without any feeling of the reality of sin. Hallelujah, ran away and sought to hide from their Creator God. Genesis 3:8. And when they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden, the cool of the evening of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. I want you to picture this. Undoubtedly, Adam was happy every time he heard the voice of the Lord calling to him. He would run to him in the evening of the day. I'm sure he was waiting for him. Perhaps a meeting place, it would be a logical place in most occasions, might have been underneath the tree of life, which typified Christ. But he ran away. His wife ran away. The Adamic culture was followed by Adam the moment he suffered spiritual death through disobedience to God. Genesis 3:6 and 7, which we just read to you. I'll read verse 6, we'll read it. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. The minute they ate the sin, they took the sin upon them. The eyes of them both were open. They knew that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. They immediately took themselves out of the kingdom of the Son. The Adamic culture was founded on Romans 1:19-23. Because that which was made known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkening. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God in the image like the corruptible man, the birds, four-footed beast, and creeping things. All right, we're ready to look at the aspects. The aspects of the Adamic culture. Adam was immediately lost, and the Adamic culture began, but before it could develop, they were saved. So point one, the Adamic culture. Began at the moment Adam lost the image and likeness of God. Adamic culture began at the moment Adam lost the image and likeness of God. Subpoint A, God the Son did not allow Adam to degenerate into experiential evil before he was saved. Genesis 3 here. And he said, the Lord God called unto Adam and said to him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. He said, who told thee that thou was naked? Now, I used to take it as a rhetorical question. I don't anymore. I think he was letting him know, yeah, you've been talking to Lucifer, Satan, the devil. And he asked, hast thou eaten of the tree, wherefore I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat, for she is omniscient in you all, he say. And the man blamed the woman. The woman said, and whom thou gavest to me, she gave me the tree, and I had eaten them. Lord God said to the woman, what is this that thou hast done? The woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field, above the upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Alright, the seed of the woman there provides the concept of salvation. In verse 21, unto Adam and also his wife, to the Lord God make coats of skins and clothes, and they were immediately redeemed. And we'll have to pick up here, because the Adamic culture will develop by under the leadership of saved people, and this will be important. Father, we thank you for the privilege of teaching your word, for your word is absolute truth. Again, we claim your promise it will not return void, but accomplish what you designed it for. We ask you to sanctify and bless the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen.